Time now for your comments. We received many emails about our reports on fighting childhood and adult obesity in Arkansas. Rebecca Hughes of Washington, D.C. writes, telling parents their school-aged children are obese will probably have little effect on their family's lifestyle. The majority of children already know they're overweight. They're reminded of it every day by their peers and the media. But it takes time and money to eat healthfully, and the majority of Americans already do not feel they have enough of either. A note on my interview about the damage caused by the U.S. military at the ancient archaeological site of Babylon, Iraq. The U.S. military is investigating and trying to ameliorate the damage it did at Babylon. Three quick corrections. We misidentified one of the key figures in our story about Emmett Till, the victim of brutal racial violence in 1950s Mississippi. The correct name of Emmett Till's mother was Mamie Till Mobley. In last Friday's story about defense contractors, the correct name for the company that bought out DynCorp is Computer Sciences Corporation. And yesterday I read a short item about the Rooster Crow Festival in a town called Rogue River. I was obviously asleep. I got the town right, but the state wrong. The competitive crowing took place in Oregon, not California. Our interview about the Stradivarius strings at the Library of Congress prompted many of you to ask, can professional musicians check them out or do they just sit under lock and key? The answer is you can't check out the Strads from the library, but they are played regularly for concerts in the library's Coolidge Auditorium. Finally, a surprising number of you heard something even more sonorous than Shakespeare in this outdoor recording we played earlier this month.
I do beseech you, not a man depart, save I alone. Your Anthony has spoken.
That's John Lithgow's father, Arthur, in a 1953 version of Anthony and Cleopatra, the place, Yellow Springs, Ohio. We had said the noise in the background was tree frogs and crickets. Surely not, counters Byron Bangert of Bloomington, Indiana. Bangert did the math and, like many of you, concluded that the sound came from 17-year cicadas. How could you have missed this, he continues. You've shaken my confidence in your reporting. Shaketh not, Mr. Bangert. That recording was made in August 1953, and a local authority assures us that the 17-year cicadas would have died off by then. So, sorry to disappoint, but we're sticking to the tree frog and cricket theory. We look forward to receiving your theories and other comments at morning@npr.org.